into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, AfterBuzz TV,
the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, and welcome to Grey's Anatomy. How are you guys doing? We are back for Season 12, Episode 2. I'm Julie Parton.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini.
And what's up? I'm Jay Howard.
And before we get too far into it, we would love, if you're on Twitter, for you to keep up the conversation during the episode while we're screening and right now live. You can hashtag us at hashtag ABTVGrays. And you can also find us at our Twitter handles.
We want to hear from you.
So how are you guys doing this week? What did you think of the episode? How are you feeling?
I think this episode, compared to the premiere, is a lot more funny.
Yeah.
Definitely. There was some good moments of levity and some moments that we were like, oh, this is kind of crazy what Miranda's up to.
Yeah, and it was interesting. It didn't really focus on Meredith's, like a storyline for Meredith much at all in this episode, which is kind of interesting because I thought the whole purpose of the new season was to kind of focus on Meredith's new journey without Derek, right?
Right, and the promo for this episode said it talked about Meredith's struggle.
Liar.
It didn't. But
did
who
she really
cares about the promos? Mm-hmm. They lie,
because apparently someone's going to be pregnant next week, right? That's what we learned.
They're never pregnant. But yeah, this episode centered around two things mainly. Well, three things. Bailey on her first day as chief. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to go perfect. Didn't. This giant lady.
Mm-hmm.
And April and Jackson's relationship. So which one should we break down first?
Well, first of all, we need to talk about whether or not this lady is actually that tall.
Well, on the show, she's supposed to be 7'2". And there are people alive that are 7'2".
And growing.
Like, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't
know if they're 7'2" and growing.
How many 7'2" female quality actresses are out there? I assume that's probably a pretty freaking niche market.
So Confession, the entire episode was looking, trying to find this woman on IMDb, and she's not up there yet. I haven't seen her in anything else. My best guess is she's not quite 7'2", but the lady's got to be tall.
And then they used framing effects to probably, you know,
camera
make her look
angles,
taller?
Okay. Yeah.
The framing effects were a little ridiculous. Anytime we saw it from her perspective, they're like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, it was a little cheesy, yeah.
But these situations exist more than you would realize. In real life.
Especially in Grey's Anatomy, yeah.
People being, like, giantly tall because of these pituitary things or different reasons.
Oh, so you know this, like, this is something you know outside the show. You know about this pituitary gland,
Absolutely,
yeah. Let me sound that out. Pituitary gland issue.
Yeah, okay. I mean, without offending tall people, I have a little obsession with, like, very, very tall people.
Okay.
I just can't resist looking at them if they're around, like, or standing next to them being like, to my husband, tell me how tall I am next to them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually used to live in the same apartment complex with some NBA players, and if they were on the elevator, I was like, oh my gosh.
Where do you live?
Yeah, can I come over for dinner?
I love NBA.
Don't worry, not anymore.
Okay.
But we live right by the Lakers stadium. Okay. So a lot of them live there.
Okay.
But yeah, I watched this documentary one time on different giants, you know, and sometimes it's crazy.
Was she on it?
No.
Okay.
This person is fake. And this was like 4 years ago. But she, yeah, like their family will be normal and they will just out of nowhere not stop growing. So this is
interesting.
Like, it's not a common thing, but it's definitely not something Grey's made up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we know, did they ever make up diseases specifically for the show?
You know.
Do we know that? Is everything legit? I feel like it probably
diseases,
can be.
Diseases, no.
Diseases, no, but like situations and whatnot, like, they take references from a lot of actual real previous surgeries.
Okay.
Any rare or crazy medical case that happens in the country, you will figure it, you will find it on Grey's.
Okay,
but
I'm sure.
Stuff like where people are impaled, several people in a row, they make that up.
On a train.
Yeah.
No
less, right,
yeah.
Right.
So definitely.
Okay, so this tall lady had a pituitary gland. I have to say that kind of slow and sound it out so I sound more intelligent. A pituitary gland issue that kept her growing and growing and growing, apparently. And I guess that was the framework for the drama that happened with Bailey, where everyone got to get frustrated with Bailey in her first day demanding that everyone pay attention to this single patient.
Well, she was only going to stay 4 hours because she thought her job was really important. She was bringing internet to Africa to educate women. Yes, important. Couldn't wait 4 hours.
I couldn't tell if we were supposed to think that was funny or like if it was supposed to be dead serious. That is, it just seemed kind of like a weird...
I mean, and I'm all for, you know, women building in the internet and whatnot and just being successful in that way. So, like, I get where the patient was coming from and her mentality, why she kept working. But it's also, it's like, you got to take a step back. You do have a medical condition that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And that's what kept being a little bit frustrating while watching it. I was like, just sit in the bed while everyone takes care of you.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I would say on television in general, but this show specifically, that's always irritating to me about the patients. Like, very rarely in real life does someone ever come up with a medical diagnosis that doesn't stop them in their tracks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on this show, they're constantly like, "Pah, no time for that. Right. Get me out of here.
Right.
Make it go away."
Yeah. They're always extremely brave, extremely careless, or extremely, like, they know more than the doctors, apparently, in this show. But yeah. I guess, hey, it's a drama. It creates drama, right?
I mean, you don't have time. Nobody has time for that, obviously.
I think it all led up to the most funniest moment in the whole episode was her falling down, of course.
I'm looking on Twitter. I was looking at the Grey's Anatomy hashtag on Twitter, and that seemed to be everybody's favorite part, was her falling on Joe. And although we talked about this at the beginning of this show, I thought it was pretty cheesy the way that the filming of it, and it just looked so cheesy.
Whoa, she's coming down. Yeah. Whoa, she's coming down. Move, Joe. We are all thinking
right.
And instead, Joe's just like, mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to keep talking.
It was,
cheesy but comical, though.
It was hilarious how they're like trying to help the patient, and Joe's just laying under there, squished.
And they had to get the door. It was good.
That was smart.
It was good.
That was very, like, impromptu. Yeah, quick thinking.
But so like we said, that set the stage for Bailey's first day and the conflict that comes with, I guess, everyone being really frustrated with her. So they had to create, obviously, on her first day, it couldn't go smoothly. So
right. Well, she wanted to go perfectly. And sorry, lady, this is Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital.
Not going
to
happen.
Stuff doesn't go perfectly. You should be happy if you live through
You're
this.
Lucky the hospital didn't blow up or something on your first day.
Right. It's like, I get where Miranda comes from. She wants to set that good example and, you know, be the dictator and whatnot. But it's also like, everyone works as a team. And you can't just have everyone stop their regular duties to help your one patient. You know, we work as a team. They all have their other things to attend to.
Mm-hmm. Especially on your first day. On your first day, take it a little easy and try not to piss off the entire hospital. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like, she had good demands, but they were very unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the thing started off and they try to give her a cake. She's in too much hurry for any of that ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm. I would have ate that cake.
I know, right? That's easily stupider
start
than the woman only giving them 4 hours.
If you start
hours.
A day off with cake, nothing bad's going to happen. Nothing else bad can happen.
If somebody brings you a celebratory anything, you eat it.
You do.
And so she moves on, and really, like, by the end of this episode, where she was so bummed out about how the day was going, I honestly thought she might quit.
Yeah, I thought she was too. I was like, okay, we're in the second episode. I guess the first episode of her actually just being the chief, because it happened at the end of episode one, right? Her being named the chief.
We just found out.
Right, okay, right. And so this is her first episode as chief. And so I thought she's going to quit on the first day and we were going to be left with somebody else for the rest of the season.
No. But I didn't think that whatsoever. I mean, we know Bailey after all these seasons. She's a fighter.
She's a trooper.
She is not a quitter. They call her the freaking Nazi
mm-hmm.
for a reason. And it's like, she's not the person to give up on something and go down without a fight. But she can have her moments of self-doubt. I give her that. And that's all she had was the moment of self-doubt where she didn't think things were going to go wrong. She just needed that time to collect herself and have Weber talk some sense into her.
To me, this is not that momentous that Bailey's chief, because chief was chief before.
Mm-hmm.
Derek was chief before.
Mm-hmm.
Owen was chief before. I feel like I'm probably forgetting a couple of other chiefs. You know, like, this isn't a job that this is the first time she's ever had. I guess it's the first time a woman has had this.
That's
role.
What I was going to say. That's actually another big theme to talk about is now pretty much you had Meredith at the very end get named chief of general surgery. So now basically the women are totally running the hospital.
I love that, though.
Who runs the world?
Girls.
Yeah.
That's what my wife tells me, yes.
Absolutely.
Every day. That. Okay, I mean, so do you think that's a purposeful thing by Shonda Rhimes to kind of have it full circle?
I mean, we know Shonda just as an executive. Like, all of her shows that she produced and whatnot, it's all about strong women.
Mm-hmm.
And to put Bailey in that position of authority and strength and to have other people underneath her to look at her as a leader, it's like, yes, Bailey, be that person, be that voice for the women that needs to be, you know, heard. What did the other girls call it? Girls' Place? They were talking
ladies' place,
something like that.
Yeah, it was something.
Good thought, bad name.
Right.
Yes. But I mean, I guess Shonda makes the rest of us kind of confused and thinking that the world's actually going to run that way, and it doesn't. You know, to have women in both those roles and to have the other candidate,
it doesn't.
Chief of
Surgery, but that doesn't mean it can't.
That's true. The other candidate was also.
I'm not saying. Yeah. I'm not saying it can't. I'm just saying, like, you watch it and you see all these shows that she produces, and they're acting like it's not a challenge. Mm-hmm. And then in real life, you know, you have the whole lean in movement. And then you look at maybe one candidate for president out mm-hmm. of like, 17 other Republican candidates?
Right.
And so it's nice to see on the show. It's just not experienced really for everybody else in the real world.
And what do you think about the fact that, I guess just the juxtaposition of her rise and then the other strong male on the show, his death, which was almost comical because of the fact that he could have been saved from it. It was such like a brutal, surprising death that it was so kind of overtaking to the audience. What do you think about the fact that it's like that crazy, brutal death and then a really quick rise for the female character? Is that purposeful?
You know, the entire Derek death thing did not fit in the show. It just wasn't part of the story arc that they've had from the beginning, I believe.
Right.
I think that entire thing was wrapped up with behind-the-scenes drama.
Just where he wanted to go race his cars and he was late.
He just was kind of over the show, and so they decided to write him off. And so many people are like, oh, I'm not watching anymore. But I was just telling Jay, like, whether or not you don't want to watch the show after Derek's death or not, Grey's Anatomy right now at this point, if you've been watching since day one, it's like your best friend from high school. Like, you may not have a lot in common anymore, and sometimes it's not necessarily what you want to do with your evening, but you have been doing this for 12 years.
When you go home, you grab coffee with this person no matter what. Well, it's freaking,
like, literally, if you don't watch Grey's, if you don't watch Grey's that week, there's something missing.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. I got to talk to my friend, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I will not quit watching Grey's.
If you
would have told me 12 years ago that I would still be watching the show and that Derek dies, gosh, I would have might felt sad for my future self. But I just don't really think about Derek anymore.
Right.
Because the whole thing didn't fit me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I would assume that if you're right, Shonda probably doesn't want us talking about Derek anymore, right? I mean,
she probably wants it to be exactly like I am, like, oh, forget about
it. But the point of Derek's death is, like, it's over and done, move on.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I love Derek, but his storyline has come to a full arc.
Well, even you look at the last couple of episodes from last season, and it's like he died, and then there was like a 2-minute memorial to him at the end of last season, and then it's like he's gone, and then we're in the new season and no one's really talking about him. It's no one's
like,
remembering
Meredith
him.
Meredith didn't even really grieve. I mean, she went away for that 1 year, but like the audience didn't even get
we
to
didn't
see
get
her
to
grieve,
experience
so.
It with her. Sure.
Yeah. Her, yeah, Derek's death, the season finale of last season where she had her third kid, who I really don't feel like we've even seen.
Right.
Those two things to me, I just like to forget about ever happen, because mm-hmm. I can hardly enjoy the show if I think about them too much.
Mm-hmm.
And have we ever really, since this season, granted it's only been the second episode, but have we heard Meredith even talk about her kids? It's not even about family anymore. It's about her and her career.
I know. And we don't ever see any of the kids anyway. Tonight mm-hmm. we had a mention of Sophia, but the rest of them...
Right.
Yeah, if we see those kids, it's once in a blue moon. It seems like they're recast every time.
But so speaking about Meredith, why do you think that she was so noticeably absent from this episode? She was, I mean, she had like 5 minutes of screen time in the entire episode, I feel like.
I don't think it's that giant of a deal. I mean, I feel like with such a huge cast, they really do try to give equal billing. And sometimes people aren't even in the episode, mm-hmm. or they have 30-minute or like a 30-second joke is what Callie will do often.
Mm-hmm.
She won't be in it the entire time. She'll say one funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And granted, this episode wasn't really about Meredith, but it set at the end of it, not to jump too far ahead, the end of it set Meredith up for the rest of the season to mm-hmm. see the whole story of Meredith.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bailey dumps all her things on Meredith,
mm-hmm.
and Meredith picks up Stephanie,
and Stephanie is like the backbone or whatever. And what's hilarious to me is that Bailey's like, Meredith, you're the calm in the center of the storm. Nothing could be further from the truth. Meredith is drama mama from day one.
Right.
If bad stuff happening, it's circling around her. Meredith is not the calm in the center of the storm. She's like the eye of it.
Right. Well, and so I wonder if that's supposed to be like foreshadowing. If she's going to take on a role of like maybe a more motherly role, I guess, in the hospital maybe this season. Because I think they're trying to set her up to have a new, more, I think they said, you know, Shonda said this season was going to be a little bit lighter, a little bit brighter for Meredith. So maybe they're trying to set her up to be a little bit maybe more nurturing? Solid of a, what's that?
Nurturing?
Maybe nurturing.
Well, maybe. I think they're, at one point in time, it was made very clear, Meredith's the new Bailey. And I think now we're kind of hearing Stephanie's the new Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, yeah. But I mean, because we've seen the episodes where Meredith has, you know, really worked hard and tried to get what she wanted for other people. And I mean, I got to give it to Edwards working the system, though. That was good on her.
Edwards is hysterical. Mm. She's funny because one of the reasons I've liked her, it doesn't seem like, I'm sure she's had her moments, it doesn't seem like she's lost her confidence since walking into the hospital day one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the other interns are either dying or crying around her, and she's kind of weathering the storm.
And she's just
hanging. And granted, she didn't have anyone fall on her this episode.
Right, that's true.
It's an added bonus.
But it was crazy that she was promoted to Chief of General Surgery. Don't hate me. Didn't even really realize that was a thing.
Yeah, well, that I took my headphones off and I was like, what did they say? And you said Chief of General Surgery. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's okay.
I guess there's more than one
Vice
chief.
President, I guess. I don't know if Bailey
like,
goes
there's
down.
A person that oversees everything. And okay. Then there's the person who like helps run the
They production. Have like Chief of Cardio, blobbity, blobbity, blob.
Which you would assume she would probably already be one of those things,
I guess,
right?
I thought she already was too, which maybe that's not. Why it wasn't that. Like, who's Chief of Cardio now?
Of cardio?
Anyway, that's been a thing in the past. How you know?
No, we've had so many cardio surgeons.
Our hospital layouts to be prepared for this show.
I thought I knew everything.
Yeah,
apparently no.
I did too, but you let me down.
But what was? I guess a moment that I liked. I guess okay. I did like watching this moment, but it's still weird to me that Chief isn't Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Was whenever Chief gave Bailey all of this advice.
Yeah.
About him being Chief. And I'm like, how many seasons has it been since that guy was actually the Chief of the hospital?
How many has it been?
A few. You know?
Why isn't he still Chief?
It feels like he's positioned. He's still in that position from a character. It felt weird because, he's like giving advice to his superior, but as an audience member, we're still looking at him as...
I will always see him as the chief.
Right.
Yeah.
No matter who's actually the chief. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why now he's just like, you know, the bumbling grandpa of the hospital.
Right. Yeah, I think at one point in my notes I put like Chief Weber because it's just something that's been ingrained in all of us. But I think his character a few years ago, you know, he just wanted to take that step down from that position of authority. I mean, still be revered and whatnot at the hospital, but be that voice of wisdom and encouragement to everyone else, but not be the person to go to when you're actually in that emergency bind.
Well, of all the people that did it, I feel like he was the best.
He's the most experienced. So he was the best person to talk to Miranda during this time of self-doubt.
I did like the stethoscope that he gave her with her name on it.
Sweet.
Well, I don't remember the quote that I thought I wrote it down, but I guess I didn't. So I'm trying to search Twitter for it. But just his lesson to her was really cool. It was really touching. I mean, as an audience member to watch, just kind of a lesson in leadership and basically him saying, hey, you know, leadership is not about everything going perfectly. Leadership is about things not going perfectly and you still being a person who is standing firm in the storm. I think he said like a person people can run to, or what did he say? I don't remember the exact quote, but it was good. And it was a lesson in leadership, you know, and it taught her something, and then I feel like it taught the audience something too.
Also, if she was my boss and this was her first day, I would be a little nervous. She wouldn't accept her cake, major party foul.
Mm-hmm.
Then she screwed
that right
with,
there tells yeah. you what's
she
up.
Screwed with everybody's schedule, second party foul. Then she comes there and she's like,
oh, I have a super soft voice, and you guys are all amazing. Be like, whoa.
What's going on
you
with
need
you?
A nap and some mood stabilizers.
Well, she was taking pills at the end.
So oh, she so was. Cool. Which kind of leads into my predictions, but we'll get there. I think that was good on Miranda to just calm with the rational, calm. Because if you go about it and still, like, hostile or still, like, I know I messed up, but, like, at least she's aware of what happened and what she did to everyone else. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, she still appreciated that everyone is still doctors. They all work together as a team. Mm-hmm. And then she herself needs to step up to be that leader that everybody needs. Mm-hmm. So
I have complete faith that she can. I'm just saying, if she was my boss on the first day, I'd have been like, she lost it.
Yeah. I would have given her totally a piece failed. Of cake.
Well, and if you look, remember all of the people were in the room talking crap about Bailey, and they were talking about replacing her with Owen, you know, because he was a little stronger, I guess. And so they were thinking the exact same thing you were.
Well, okay. And not to say too many things that bug me about this episode, but for some reason, when they were standing in the stairwell yelling at each other, Meredith and Bailey, she's like, I deserve more. Mm-hmm. I deserve more. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, it didn't feel right to me. Like, it didn't
Tell
feel
me more.
Genuine.
Why? What?
The whole scene didn't feel
just
genuine.
Just the acting or the
needed or anything about that scene. I feel like these two characters have been acting together long enough. It shouldn't seem so stale.
Mm. I mean, granted, I felt this particular moment of rant on Meredith's part was out of place. Definitely not needed, but the blocking, the physical actually visualization of it, I saw it more so Meredith is the one rising.
Yeah,
and Miranda, this is the part of her self-doubt starting. Like, she's lowering herself. Mm-hmm. Like, she was lower on those stairs. So it's blocking. It's like, who's the most superior one?
Maybe that
now?
Was the symbolism behind it. But really, Meredith did not need to freak out. Obviously,
well,
it's her first day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It did seem a little, I mean, two characters who've had so much history together and have gone through so much together. And then, like, they have one. There's one bad day, and all of a sudden there's this, like, dramatic, they try to kind of create this dramatic, it just seemed a little rushed.
It has been going on for weeks.
Right.
This is one day.
Right.
Respectfully, Chief.
Before we move on, I have to say that our Twitter user, Jacqueline, her username is LoveToSail, always knows what she's talking about, and reminded me, Maggie's the head of cardio.
Duh. Thank you.
So I would like to take a moment to mention some of our favorite people that have been watching this show for a while, and some of them that are new.
Mm-hmm.
Mimi at Stoic504, if you guys have any other ones also that have been tweeting you this week. Oh, Tara Johnson won't be here this week or next week. We miss her, but TJ wagging her tail.
Mm-hmm.
The Clyde brothers, awesome to have them. Woohoo! Brittany, our Melvin fan. Oh, Ginny Cooper, she tweeted us this week. And you know what? We miss you, girl. She was so smart.
Mm.
Chess Olelica, Chessie Y, and Lois Elfman. Thank you so much for your participation during the week. She let us know where Maggie went to school. Apparently, there's lots of alumni
from
there.
Apparently so, yes.
Strong women have found their voice, and they are telling us about it.
Yes, that is true.
So for all of you guys that are participating on the conversation on Twitter and YouTube, we love it. And welcome to the conversation. Thank you for telling us who those Greg's Big Five were.
Yeah, we got in trouble for that.
The second you said it, I'm like, okay, duh. Uh-huh. But then I didn't really remember. So thank you for cluing us in on that.
Yes.
Please let us know in the comment section on YouTube and on iTunes and on Twitter what's going on. Because you're as much a part of this as we are.
And real quick, I saw on Twitter that it is Sarah Drew's birthday, one of the actors' birthday. So happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. That actually brings me to the next part that I want to talk about. But how cute did she look in that paper outfit? Isn't that? Can she not pull off anything?
Yeah,
she was cute, but she
gal.
Was not comfortable there. You can tell that chafing.
So then, let's go from what we just said was probably the most awkward scene in the episode to one of the best scenes I've seen on television in a while. I mean, I thought it was amazing acting between the two of them, and then even the symbolism of them talking and there being a literal wall between them. So good.
I thought it was great and such a very realistic type of storyline that a lot of people could probably relate to. Just
the marriage fighting, not the mystery rash inside a bubble.
just like the struggle between a marriage,
yeah,
between the boy and the girl, just like where they stand and having ultimatums or decisions at the end of the day and working with each other through good and bad times, through mm-hmm. better or worse,
mm-hmm. right?
And I think they really hit the nail on the head with that.
So yes, at the beginning of the story, April has this nasty rash, and since she's been abroad, they're like, all right, lady, get in the bubble.
They said it could be anthrax. I was like, whoa, yeah. We went from 0 to 100 real quick. Anthrax? Okay.
The anthrax, that should have been in the premiere.
Right.
Yeah, so she gets locked up, and everyone in the whole show is using her as their therapist because she has to sit there and listen to them.
That was quite funny.
Yeah, yeah, that was, and it was hilarious how she's just like little April behind this bubble in this paper outfit, like, shut up, stop talking to me.
And it was a smart way for, I think, for the writers to also kind of subtly circle back around for these other little storylines and just remind the viewers kind of what's going on in different mm-hmm. people's lives in a kind of lighthearted, comical way.
Totally, you know,
to
agree. Kind of
push them forward, but. Absolutely. I think I agree with you, Marissa, because, you know, with Grey's Anatomy, from people getting impaled to plane crashes to people dying every episode, it seems like, it's so dramatic. It is so dramatic. And I think what was so gripping about this scene, and just looking through Twitter, the hashtag here, like, that seemed to be what everyone's talking about. I think what was so gripping about this scene is that it's so relatable to so many people, whether you're married or you've got a boyfriend or girlfriend. So many of us have had that conversation of just like, look, are we going to fight for this or not?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we said we'd do. This is what we promised we'd do. And as a viewer, it's kind of like, it's drama that touches you at a little bit deeper level, a more realistic level.
Right, yeah. And these two are the central couple of the show now
mm-hmm.
because yeah. we've seen the most history from them. Everyone else is either not together, not in the show, or dead. So this has become like the central relationship that we're following.
Yes.
And lucky for me as a viewer and Marissa as well, this has been one of my favorites
mm-hmm.
for like 3 or 4 years now. I've really, really liked following these two together. And so for them to come at a crossroads in their relationship, I'm not over this storyline at all. I mm-hmm. like it still. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It seemed like with Christina and Owen, I'm like, okay, you two need to break up 6 seasons ago.
We get it, right. Yeah.
We all know that you're not right for each other. You're divorced. Mm-hmm. Knock it off.
Right. Yeah.
But these two, I'm still really rooting for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, you are too.
Yeah, 100. I mean, you know, on different levels. So for me, you know, just the two characters, I'm rooting for them. I think their relationship makes sense. I think their personalities and their characters fit. And then just kind of what I was talking about on a deeper level, on a more realistic level, as a viewer who, I mean, has a high value of marriage, I'm like listening to them talk about how important marriage is and you want to fight for it and in a, I guess, a culture that doesn't really seem to value marriage all that much.
It doesn't really fight anymore.
Right. And you hear these kind of things that, like, you know, well, if it's not easy, then maybe it's not right. And to see a character say, like, it's not supposed to be easy. Like, we said for better or for worse, this is worse, and we're going to keep fighting for it.
Although they're not. Only April is.
Well, hope. Yeah, for now, yeah. I hope it's going to turn around.
Jackson right. said, we'll see about that. She's like, I'm going to keep fighting for us. And he's like, this is still what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that always kind of has been April.
Mm-hmm.
She really does make everything about her and what she wants. And I think it's awesome that she's still fighting for her marriage. But it is a little late to leave him 2 different times for years at a time
mm-hmm.
when she knew how much it would hurt him.
Mm-hmm. And also, with the irony that the fact that now she's stuck in one place because she had the freedom to physically leave.
Mm-hmm.
And now she doesn't. She is secluded to one place. I was like, you know what, April, I love you, but you definitely deserve this right now.
Mm-hmm.
With the emotional distraught that you put on Jackson and everybody that you've infected with your personal decision, you need to stay in this one place and listen to everybody else talk right now.
And that was a really interesting point because, you know, they were talking about the ultimatums. And she said that Jackson was the one making the ultimatums because he said, hey, if you leave, you know, that tells me everything I need to know about our relationship. We're done. And it was really interesting when he kind of turned around on her and he's like, no, like, by you leaving, you were the one making the ultimatums.
This entire relationship is ultimatums.
Right,
is what he said.
Right. And then he said what I wrote it down word for word. It was like the most painful line was, "I'm not sure we're worth fighting for."
Yeah, that was rude. That was rude. People can come back from stuff like that still, though.
And the thing with relationships or marriages, whatever, is just they shouldn't be about ultimatum. They should be about compromise.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that this fighting between them is still fresh to me. And honestly, we saw them go through so much with the death of their son, Samuel. And not to bring down this show too much, but I know three couples who went through this in the past few years. And one just didn't make it. Mm-hmm. They got pregnant right after they were newlyweds. And it was kind of the only thing they had between them was just like this painful season of grief. And they couldn't be together anymore. Mm. And I don't necessarily think that's what's happening with those two. But obviously April can't not think about it. And it seems like Jackson's moved on a little bit easier than her.
Well, it's also hard because during the time where they probably needed each other the most, April's the one that physically left.
She left herself,
but she left in total. So
that's not really a normal way to grieve, though.
No.
Right. You don't go off to combat twice.
And people grieve in different ways, but that still doesn't justify her actions.
Well, Jackson was saying just very clearly, like you left and when I needed you. Or when I needed you, that is when you decided to leave.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, you know, in the hardest time of their marriage, that's when they weren't together.
She wanted to deal with it on her own.
Right.
And she did.
I would never break up a marriage for any reason, really. But I would be so mad. Mm-hmm. If our child just passed away and my spouse left me and they left me again and I told them how much I needed me, I would be in his shoes right now. Mm-hmm. I would be like, you can't come back with your cute haircut and act like you're the only one fighting for this relationship when you haven't been for 2 years.
Yeah. I guess that's true. I mean, I didn't really think about that. It does seem kind of unfair to him because, you know, you feel like as you're watching him, you're like, come on, Jackson. Like, she's saying she wants to fight for the relationship, and you're saying that you don't want to anymore. But his response is basically like, look, I've been fighting for this relationship for the past X, many years. And then now when she decides that this is what she wants, she finally decides she wants to fight for this relationship in this moment. Well, I don't really have much fight left. So that's what's...
If he...
It's a little too late. That's the problem.
I do think that they can be salvaged. I do think they will. But... She needed to deal with that by herself. He does not have to take her back if he's still needing to deal with this. Mm. Like, it's appropriate for her to set those boundaries for herself, and it's appropriate for him to set those boundaries for himself, but she's the one that left.
Mm-hmm.
So, I found it heartbreaking. I really think they will work out, though.
Mm-hmm.
I do. They're just like, neither one of them is going to date anybody else because they're still loving, they still love each other.
I love that relationship so much, and they're the only relationship from, if you think about it, the Mercy Hospital, too, that's still going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before that whole merge. Yeah. So, like, they're original pairing themselves, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, I really root for them. And granted, I root for the relationship because it's so real right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it feels authentic. Yeah, it does.
I would love to hope for the best in something like that.
Now, on to a different relationship that's not working for me. Aaliyah. What is going on there? Am I the only one who thought they were together officially and now they're like acting all confused about it?
Well, have they defined the relationship?
Those two are two steps forward, two steps back for too far long now.
Yeah.
Like, they're acting like they just met.
Right.
No, I feel like with those time lapse and things like that, have they really just been making out for like 2 or 3 years? What's going on?
Yeah. Their chemistry doesn't really just doesn't. I mean, as two characters, and then even just as actors and actresses, like, it just doesn't. They don't really have a lot of chemistry, I feel like.
You know, maybe it's just Owen bugs me a little bit when he's like so passionate. I don't know. It's too much.
Uh-huh.
But. I am not. I mean, I feel him with her more than I did Christina. I hated him with Christina.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
those two together
that.
Were just wrong to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't totally even know why he wanted to be with her. So I feel them together. I guess I'm just confused why the show is acting like this is new. when they really have been kind of flirting and making out
and
for
hey,
a long time.
Hey, they got their
time.
Elevator scene, right? The elevator where everything stands still.
This show acts like elevators are so sexy. In real life, you're really like, oh, excuse right. me. Oh,
there's always that smelly guy.
You're like, it's so hot today. Oh, wait, somebody's coming. Bing, right. bing. Sorry. You know, it's like nothing romantic happens on elevators.
It's the
like
place
that
where the
life.
Less communication happens.
I think I've tried to make out on an elevator before, and it's like,
didn't
bing.
Work out.
Oh, hey, sorry.
Yeah, I tried to hit the emergency brake, and everyone just started yelling at me like I was like a murderer.
I'm so sorry.
No, there are cameras in those elevators, too.
That was a good scene at the end. I guess...
I think they just need to... The writers or producers, whatever, they just need to actually define what this relationship is. Are they together, or are they not?
Mm-hmm.
And just stop dragging us along.
They're acting like kids, like they just met. No. If we count the time lapse, this has been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
They are grown adults.
And they've spent some, they've had some really intimate moments, like when she was going to commit suicide and they were out on the porch or whatever, and she was going to commit suicide and he's talking her down. It's like they're sharing these intense moments and as the viewer, you're like, okay, so I guess.
And then the next moment, he's like, you're not talking to me today. I'm like, are you in middle school or
right,
are you grown adults?
Right, yeah.
Choose one. Exactly.
Jeez.
So a lot of people are rooting for them, and I guess they are too. They've both been through a lot of pain, and they deserve happiness.
Mm. I like them together, though. I really do.
I guess I do. I don't hate it, so fine.
They're fun to watch now. Are they an endgame? Maybe not.
No way.
But they are definitely fun to watch right now.
You know
now.
What I have a hard time doing with the show is watching anyone who's been with everyone and for me to feel like it's their soulmate. Like, after I've seen them all with so many different
you're just
characters,
so cynical.
It's hard for it to click with one that makes it different from the rest.
Right.
I think that's for... Jackson and April, they're kind of really the only loves. I mean,
yeah.
April had her fiance for a while. Jackson was with Stephanie, but they weren't really in love with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not like I can't see two loves for one person, but the same thing with Meredith and Derek. Like, they might have had their moments, but it's not like Callie, who's literally been in love with, like, men
right.
and women and
right.
every season.
Everyone.
Yeah. And you're, yeah. I mean, totally. But it is interesting. I mean, they still do rope you in on all of those freaking relationships. Like, maybe it'll work out this time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to work out. I promise you.
Goddess again.
Something else that was funny is the new blonde intern that likes Joe.
Yeah. So what's he off of? He's on something, another show, and I can't think of what it is. Does anybody know?
You're going to have to IMDb it.
I'm going to IMDb it.
He didn't ring any bells to me, so maybe it was just something that you noticed. But
okay, if they're going to have a flirtatious moment, then build up to something. I mean, that was literally just... It was to the point of it. That was just awkward to watch. If it had a payoff at the end, and that it might have been
funny.
I thought
it was funny how Stephanie stole him. Joe was all whiny, and he's like, I'll be back. That was hilarious.
So is the new dark-haired intern supposed to be the new... Is he going to be like the new McDreamy now? I mean...
Yes.
He kind of looks like him.
Yes,
a little
please.
Bit.
Please.
Yes,
yeah, I'd be okay with that, but that means they actually have to give him a story.
Yeah, I know, right? Dr. DeLuca looks the part. I mean, he, in my mind, can replace McDreamy and McSteamy just based off of, like, his physicality and his presence on camera.
And his looks
but
and his height,
they
his body.
Him in. They brought him in such a doofy circumstance.
Yeah.
Like,
no, but, like, he needs a moment to shine. Granted, his introduction, we know he's capable of being an awesome doctor. So
he needs
an operation to just, like,
he does need
do
more.
It.
Like, if they are, if they all think he's a dork, then none of them are going to have a crush on him, and then he's never going to get anywhere.
Right.
We need something from him for him to
he's
rise
he's going
to
man up. I'm sure he is. He's going to man up, and he's going to end up with one of them. I don't know who, but one of them, for sure.
I mean, let's hope. We needed new, fresh man meat on the show. We didn't need new, fresh, young, awkward guys that
right.
just, like, everybody kind
but
of brushed
see,
under the rug.
That was my first thought, though, is when they brought him on, my first thought was, you know, he actually looks a lot like Derek. I mean, he
oh, yeah.
like, physically,
yeah.
he does look a lot like him, so I wonder if they're going to try to, like, kind of replace him and make him the new
if they're gonna
it,
bring
it
yeah
guy.
If they're gonna bring in like a new man hunk, make it somebody older that the women could actually date.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all our awesome gorgeous women characters, none of them could really date him because he's young and he pretended he was a doctor.
There's too many women on this panel, you know. I'm trying to talk about character development and these really deep intense things. You're like, yeah, just man meat, you know.
No, I agree with that. I think his physicality was definitely on purpose.
Absolutely. And you know what? They nailed it. Good job. Good job casting.
But so, give him a story.
That's he needs something more.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, they thought Giant Jade Bale was going to die. And she didn't.
She was alive.
She came back. And I do want to say, there was a moment in that surgery where he was putting the patch on. And maybe I've just been looking at the supermoon too much, but it totally reminded me of the blood moon. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure of it. It looked exactly like that eclipse. I think so.
Science nerd alert. Wow. Okay. And we're back.
The whole world has been talking about the moon this week.
Well, because it's supposed to be like the end times, right?
Well, it won't happen for another 33 years, so...
I thought it was supposed to signify, like, the end times. No. I don't know how that relates to Grey's Anatomy. Somehow,
we did see the supermoon on Grey's, though. And I want to hear from somebody else that that's what they thought of.
Okay.
Because I know
Do you
I'm
think it was
alone.
On purpose? Do you think they did that just for... Like, it was a wink to
they
you?
They produced that weeks or months ago.
Months before they knew there's...
Yeah, so as far as this episode was concerned, like, I wasn't disappointed. I was pleased. I don't know what I'm wanting from the show right now, but I'm wanting something else.
Yeah. I think at the end of this whole episode, what I can take away is that they built Meredith up for what to see in the future. Now that she has an actual title of authority and whatnot, then that is the kickstart to her storyline by herself and without Derek.
So, can I have, like, a cone of immunity? Like, you won't get mad at me if I tell you what...
No, I'm not promising that. Okay. Go for it.
Okay. Well, shoot. the first two episodes just have seemed a little bit flat to me. You know, if the only thing that saved it in this episode was the strength of the storyline between Jackson and April, but it hasn't seemed like it's moved forward really all that much in the first couple of episodes.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. And it always bugs me in Grey's when they do big things for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason there should be, like, plane crashes on top of mudslides, on top of explosions, on top of bus crashes, on top of, you know, I could go on.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I'm wanting more. Like, maybe that's what I want. I want a new, older guy to come in. I want to see Maggie fall in love for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Stephanie finally fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to continue to see these compelling patient stories. And you know what? Like, reach. Find those interesting medical stories from the world because they're out there, you know?
So here's my question for both of you then. You said you want an older guy to come back into the show. Do you want that older guy to be with Meredith? Eventually, is that the goal? Do you want
Way
her to
too
be
much.
With
her?
I have seen Meredith fall in love, fall out of love, fall in love, fall out of love. I am perfectly comfortable at this point in time with Meredith rocking it as a super successful businesswoman and a super successful single mom of three.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two jobs by themselves, that's enough duality to fill a woman's life. Not necessarily for her. And it doesn't even have to be that much older, just eligible enough to date the cast of characters that I was talking about.
Okay.
Right. And I think it would be a complete disservice to everyone who fell in love with Derek and Meredith's relationship and to not completely erase their whole history. I think it would just be a disservice to the fans out there to just completely write Derek off in that way. And not enough time has passed for Meredith to be with someone else, I think.
And here's the thing.
What do you think? Are you wanting Meredith?
Here's the thing. You know, I don't think that they, just realistically, I don't think they have enough time left in the show, just the existence of the show, to develop another relationship for Meredith that would be able to realistically replace for the fans the relationship she had with Derek. Unless it's going to go for like 84 seasons, which it might.
I agree with you. In the entire arc and scope of this show, Meredith has had her great love.
Mm-hmm.
Her journey is not over because everybody's journey doesn't start and end with who they end up married to. But I agree with you. No one could eclipse that relationship in our mind. I heard some people say Alex last season. Don't even go there.
Mm.
I like him with Joe a lot.
Yeah.
Although they're a little too happy. We need a mix up. We did hear tonight that Callie is dating somebody new.
Yeah.
That was so funny how Arizona's like, tell me about it. And then immediately like, stop, read the room.
Yeah, that was the line that was really funny. Okay, cool. Read the room next time or whatever. Yeah.
Arizona, she can be funny. Kate Capshaw has always had like a little like humor in her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's good with those little one-liners. Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Just one more thing on them. I'm glad that they're at the point in their relationship where they can be completely civil with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten over that hump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know most viewers are not over those two, though.
No.
I'm not. I still want them two together.
To me, they're a little bit. They're kind of in like the territory of Owen and Christina to me. Corwilia is what we used to call them.
Corwilia. Okay.
We always compound the names. Uh-huh. Like, once they've been married and divorced, I just kind of am like, new storyline.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting. If they're like still fighting for their marriage or whatever, then I'm into it. But like, once they're moved on, I just kind of.
But it's also even when you saw April by herself, when we saw Arizona by herself, she brought up Kelly. So Kelly is on her mind.
Oh, yeah. Well, she probably always will be. They're raising
their relationship
together.
Is still going.
Right. I did love Arizona's hair tonight. Whoever did the hair tonight, this was one of my favorites.
I didn't notice.
It was a big variety of hair. Meredith straight, Arizona, you know, flowing
out.
Kelly's
like,
was on point, though.
Middle part, straight down.
Do you take notes on this stuff?
Rugged.
How do you remember all that?
I actually have a visual memory.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Photographic memory. Well, it's been very helpful my whole life.
Great. Is that true? Are you lying to us?
No, I actually have a photographic memory.
What shirt was I wearing last week?
It was blue and it buttoned down.
That's too general. That's,
No, I could probably tell you every shirt I've worn, every episode I've ever filmed of this.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe regardless, this show's not about that.
Right.
So let's move into, should we do news and gossip?
Yes. Sure.
I have one.
I have one too.
You do?
I do.
Do you want to go first or do you want me
to? I want to go first.
Okay, go for it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So I read online that they were interviewing Rob Lowe. And Rob Lowe, let me pull this up.
I could see him on the show.
Well, he does have a new show.
Well, pump the brakes.
Go on, guys.
Can I speak?
Yeah, sorry.
Can I? Okay.
We're like, Rob, yes, please.
Because it's actually not good.
Oh, okay.
Potentially bitter would be Grey's Anatomy star. So maybe it's coming from that he's frustrated. Rob Lowe is taking a pot shot at the ABC medical drama, calling it out for, get ready, the objectification of men. The actor talks about his character in a new comedy, Grindr, whatever. People go on and on about the objectification of women, and rightfully so, Rob says, but what about the objectification of men? When was the last time you saw Grey's Anatomy?
You know what, Rob Lowe?
An hour ago.
I do
Rob,
not want to hear it.
Don't do
from
this,
you.
Rob.
Yeah.
Super good looking white guy does not have any room to whine about that kind of thing.
Keep
sorry, buddy.
I got put in the good-looking white guy category. I'll take it.
Take it from it what you will, no room to whine.
I'll take
neither
it.
Does Rob.
I don't think it's just standard like objection of men. It's also just building of females in general. It's like there's a double standard to that.
Objectification. And maybe we objectify men on this show sometimes, but they objectify women equally. It's an equally objectifying show.
That is true, and I actually totally agree with you. I mean, it's kind of one of those like, there's been so much objectification of women. Maybe like you should let this one slide, Rob. Like, it's okay. Like,
okay, you really are going to get so mad about this, Rob Lowe. Watch 1 hour of commercials.
Yes.
1 hour of commercials and tell me if it's that offensive.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that. Good
you're
insight.
Welcome.
I've actually worked
you.
On set with him before and he was nice, so I feel
and
bad
And now you're
bashing
talking
him.
Crap about him.
Sorry,
come
it
on.
Just rubbed me the wrong way. He sounded all sissy. Okay. So I got this casting in my inbox. Did you guys get this one? They are casting for Grey's Anatomy extras, masculine females, tough looking, seeking females ages 25 to 45 to portray masculine lesbian types at a gay bar. So this is coming up. I didn't submit.
Uh-huh.
Didn't think I'd get the part. Oh, people have been asking. Yes. Another bump.
Do it.
Another
do
little
it.
Girl's on the way. Anyway,
yay.
Didn't
good
think
job.
They'd pick me
good
as
job.
Masculine lesbian
yes.
woman
probably
with my
not.
5 month bump.
Probably not.
But so yeah, we got a lesbian bar scene coming
okay.
up.
Well,
who do you guys think's going to the lesbian bar? Arizona.
I yes. think it'd be, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Arizona.
And maybe that's where because she was leaving this episode to go somewhere. So maybe, you know,
well,
maybe she'll end up there.
Also, hearing that Callie's been dating someone else is making Arizona be like, hey, I'm still single.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
What's funny is a little bit of behind the scenes drama on extras on Grace. Everyone's been wanting to get on the show because people have been extras on the show for like over a decade.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anytime there's castings, they get flooded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I
so
bet
they're
so.
Off,
I
they're
bet
pretty
so.
Exclusive.
I believe it.
This was not my opportunity, though. All right, let's do predictions.
Okay.
And now, your
your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we saw next week, Joe's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. She's never pregnant. They always try
probably
to
not.
Convince us of
probably
that.
Not.
I think my prediction with that one, it's a scare.
Absolutely.
Definitely a scare.
And it causes them to have this conversation of like, do you want kids? Do you mm-hmm. want kids? Which mm-hmm. sometimes breaks people up.
Well, now they have a house together and they have put roots down. Why not start a family?
You know,
there's nothing wrong with that.
She wasn't
either,
even
though.
Ready to get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think they should just like approach that subject.
I think they just need to have that serious sit down and be like, where are we in our relationship?
I predict that those two are going to come to a place this season, probably pretty soon. They're like, what are we doing? Are you ready to be serious yet? Mm-hmm. Alex, like, I'm older than you. I do want kids. Maybe now.
Right.
Maybe she is pregnant. I would think that would be fun to see.
Yeah.
Okay. As you know, I love Jackson and April. But the way Jackson was acting tonight, it makes me feel like mm-mm. his heart's not in it.
Don't say it.
And I don't want to say it, but I think I might have to.
Don't say it.
I don't... I think Jackson might serve the papers first.
Oh, no.
I did. So also in the prediction from next week, he said, I'm changing the locks when you go to work. Rude.
I know. That usually doesn't work out when
but,
I do that. So.
But maybe Jackson will actually come around and be like, no, I want to fight for this relationship.
I predict they will not get divorced. I predict he will not serve papers. They might separate and he might lash
they'll
back
survive.
For a little bit longer. Mm. Yeah.
They'll survive.
And
my last little thing is I think something is actually wrong with April. From this episode, something's actually going to be wrong with her. But.
That's a good one. Mm. And I'm predicting more comes from this Stephanie Meredith mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Good. It was great to talk to you guys.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys follow up with us on YouTube, iTunes, and Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Julie Partin. That's JuliePartin.
You can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV.
And you can find me on Twitter at JLives, JayLives1.
So, hashtag ABTVGrace, and we'll be talking throughout the week. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.